This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, this is RÚV English Radio. I'm Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company today. We have a double episode today. In a few minutes' time, I'll be in Garðabær, back at the Design Museum, talking to the artist in residence that you meet as you walk through the doors of that establishment. But first, to the Nordic House in the centre of Reykjavik, where an exhibition about the work of the man who designed the Nordic House. He was the Finnish architect Alvar Aalto. The exhibition has been Alvar and the City, but extending beyond the end of the exhibition is some work that's been done by some students in a school in Reykjavik. Let's hear more from Hrafnhildur Gísaradóttir.
It's very important to mediate his works, but we're also looking at Wasteland Iceland that has been here on exhibit that talks about sustainability and architecture. And we also look at how Breiðholtið, the neighborhood, was built up and how it is architecturally interesting and relevant still today to look at. So it's threefold in a way.
Breiðholt, a part of Reykjavik that was built in the 1960s, and it feels like it was built in the 60s. It is brutalist, to use that term correctly, in many ways. Mm-hmm. It's the largest part, I think, of Reykjavik.
I believe that's correct. And the most diverse part as well.
Yes.
And so we worked with students from Hólabrekkuskóli. That is also, we created a bond with a school. We call it our friendship school. So we're very happy to do this. It's a long-term project we made since January.
Now, if and when you come to Nordic House, you might still be able to see some of the artwork that's up here that's been made by some of the students that's in the foyer here. The exhibition on Alvar himself will likely have finished by the time you hear this, but it's important that the work from the children stays up. Let's talk a little bit about that. It's on the wall. What did they set out to create here?
So we did a lot of different exercises. We also went to the school and talked with them when we did mind maps. It's also some artists started in the 70s, so drawing your ways by memory.
Yes.
And then we also laid out actual maps of Breiðholtið to map out, okay, which are your routes through the neighborhood, just to get them a little bit to be self-aware of how they use the neighborhood and how actually children, young people are the biggest users of neighborhoods in general. So we went a little bit from micro to macro, like my house, and then until my neighborhood, and then the city, and Alvar Aalto, who also like spreads internationally his design and buildings as well. We talked about throughout this long time, like a few months, we talked about also like what is important to think about when you build a house or buildings. What does it take to make you feel good in a building? We talked about functionality, but also aesthetics. So we went through many different stages.
Yes, and I do want to talk about the building that we're in, of course, because it's an ongoing exhibition, I suppose, of his work, isn't it? He was the designer of the place that we're standing. But the work that is on the wall, designed, drawn by the children here, painted indeed by the children, what catches your eye of these? Which one would you want to focus on, perhaps?
I'm very interested. What we're looking at now is a photographic documentation of the first stages of the houses. And we encouraged them to both think about houses in the future. And we told them about the minor changes we made to this house, the Nordic House, because the function of the house has changed. No longer the director lives in the actual house, so there's no longer an apartment for the director.
I didn't know the director did live here.
It did.
So Sabina had to move out, or was she ever here?
she was never here. No, she was never here.
Okay.
It's quite some time ago since directors lived
so
also
it literally
in the house.
Was a house then, the Nordic
exactly.
House.
Okay. Yeah, okay. He lived here with the family. That was the tradition. but due to change of times and change of the functionality. But of course, we had to get like permission and work very closely to the Alvar Aalto Foundation, of course, get everything through the right means to get the changes done. So the house is in flux and constant change, and the exhibition downstairs reflects that. So they were thinking about that when they made their own house. It was a mixture of houses in the future and my dream house. I'm very interested in the ones that were really far out. For example, this one that is shaped like an X.
Yes.
And then you have a door to go through all the walls. We have this...
It looks like a cross-section. Forgive me. It looks like a cross-section of a complete house, doesn't it?
It does. So, it's completely X like this.
Yes.
And this is the first stage. So, for example, this student worked further with this house and connected it to another house. So, a lot of... In the process was also about collaboration.
Right.
And this one, and communication, this trampoline...
It's a trampoline on a green mat, by the looks of it.
Exactly. Looks like a little bit of a dangerous trampoline as well, with some spikes. But this trampoline was placed next to a sculpture. Like one guy decided to do a sculpture instead of a house. And when they are, you know, like deep into the flow of creation, I don't want to stop that. So the trampoline was placed next to a sculpture and a bigger house in the end. Like that's the 3D houses you can see until Monday.
Yeah.
And I also told them that it was like a very progressive thinking that you can view a sculpture from a trampoline. You can see the sculpture from different angles and in fast movement.
It becomes kinetic, doesn't it, if you're jumping up and down, viewing it from that position. I think I would fall. You're right, I don't want to jump on that trampoline with the spikes coming out of the top.
No.
So wonderful work done here by the students that you're working with, and more around the corner, which we're going to talk about. Does this feed into, for some of them perhaps, a love of architecture, or I've wandered into the toilet. Does it feed into a possible love of architecture that you've discovered among some of them?
Yes, indeed. And some of the children worked this also very, very fast and created like a 5-story house.
Okay.
Which we've had trouble both storing and exhibiting, but it looks amazing. This is the house when it was only 3 stories.
Okay.
So some children are very, very fast also in working. So that's really impressive to see. Some are very detailed oriented and focus on the interiors, and others it's about volume. But we had a lot of experimental material as well, some of which are traditionally used, like these here architecture students actually use. And I worked for the first couple of months with Sunna Vetel, architect student in Atlawi Art School.
Let's try to describe this one if we can then. Tell me what's going on here. There are some pillars. I think that's meant to be a ladder leading up to the upper panel, if you will, of this construction.
Yes, this is a rough construction which you can see inside of. We see 2 walls. Here the architect, the young architect, seems to be playing with outdoor indoor space.
Yes.
Important detail is marshmallows on a stick on the table inside.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
It's not immediately obvious, is it? I thought that table was a giant tooth at one point.
Yes, that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah,
that how everything can become a sculpture like this. And then in the second part of this development of this house, because these are all the first stages of the houses, we added plastics and different options because we were talking about sustainability and reusing things.
Mm.
So the here on the second story became a tent and a see-through roof. And other interesting things.
Yeah. So some wonderful work created by the children. And as we say, by the time you hear this conversation, it is hoped that this will still be available to view in the foyer. So this will extend beyond the main exhibition.
Yeah, exactly. We hope that that's the plan, that the imagery, the photographs of the first dates of the houses, which is very clear, will stay up until May. But it's only throughout until Monday where you can still see the houses themselves in 3D. And they're quite impressive in their current state.
Another exhibition which will be over by the time you hear this conversation, but has been running successfully, is Wasteland Iceland that you mentioned. Just remind us how that fits in with what we've been talking about.
Yes, Wasteland Iceland is an architectural company, Danish Icelandic, called Ledanger. They have been traveling with this exhibition, or this is the second location at least where this exhibition is, and they talk about sustainability in architecture and in the building industry. It is kind of a teaching tool also for us here in Iceland, how we can be aware of using material in building. And they have created some kind of collaboration with some companies, for example, Húsasmiðjan, like a provider of wood and, yes, and such, to get leftover wood or things that will be disregarded. And you can see samples also of that downstairs and how to reuse plastic and other things. So it's a really important exhibition, also to change building legislation and such. So guests that visit have the chance also to write their suggestion on those topics as well.
So Alvo himself, as an architect, let's talk about the work that he created that we're standing in, which is the Nordic House. Did he design the other Nordic houses as well, or just this one?
He did not design all of the Nordic houses. He designed this one, and this is very late in his career. It's one of his last houses that he did design. He also chose this location, and by the time he chose, there was not so much around here.
No.
Like we had the university, but so it was windy and a little bit detached to the main center, let's say. So he was quite progressive in choosing this location, seeing its possibilities, and also having extra large windows for that time, which we see in the restaurants as well. That beautifully frame the Mount Esja,
yep,
the little pond, which is a bird sanctuary by now outside. Some people say that Alvar designed the pond, which is incorrect, we figured, because he indeed wanted a pond, but further out and much more straight lines, more in the terms of Taj Mahal, where the building can mirror itself,
yes,
in the pond. So this is a more family-friendly version.
And architecturally, in terms of design, there's a lot of what feels mid-century here. There's lots of wooden paneling, the lighting, the ceiling. It is modernist in that sort of mid-century way. When was this building created?
68.
Yeah, so it's right in the middle of that period, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. And it feels really comfortable, people say, when they walk inside. He really thought about that aspect of,
And the work that's going on here, I would normally, coming into the Nordic House, go straight ahead from where I'm standing into the library. That, of course, is still closed because of the refurbishment that's going on. And there is work continuing outside on the main building itself. How's that all going?
We're told it's going good. And we look forward to reopening library in the end of the summer. Of course, if there are delays, we fully understand that. There was a lot of things to be done with the old house, surviving in the Icelandic weather conditions and dampness and other things. So they're doing it really well, really carefully.
But it's important too, isn't it, to improve everything and fix everything in a very sympathetic way to the original style. So that's why it's going slowly, because it needs to be done properly.
Yeah, exactly. And with Alvar Foundation every step of the way as well, within every decision. And we also work with local architects to help us, like when we were redrawing the small changes we made towards the staff area as well, mainly.
And are there any other buildings of note that he designed?
Not in Iceland. But around the world.
So this is his only Icelandic building?
Yes, yes. And he also did, of course, a lot of the furniture you see here, tables, chairs, these simple chairs, lights, etc. But it's also a reason why the concert hall is called Elisa. And it's because he worked very closely with his wives, both of his wives. So they are called, so some of the rooms are named after his, he had two ex-wives, Aino and Alyssa. So I know it's a meeting room over here. Alyssa is the concert hall. So to honor their legacy as well in his whole creative process, because they were like running a studio with him.
So they were important in his work.
Yes, and also active as creators as well.
Okay. Well, even in this current state, with the library closed and the work being done on the building, there was still plenty to see and plenty to enjoy. As we say, the work of the students that we've been discussing should still be on the wall by the time you come down to the Nordic House and have a look. And as we always say, I don't think this will be the last time that we visit the Nordic House this year.
No, I hope not. Okay. There's always something going on.
There is always something happening here. And I've only ever been to one of the other Nordic houses, and that's the one in Tórshavn in the Faroe Islands.
I've never been in the one in Tórshavn. I've been in Denmark multiple times, where the Nordic collaboration is. But it is a different experience because there also is other operations happening and politically active. But there are specific houses in Greenland and Iceland and Norway that were built for the Nordic Corporation, also to secure that we would be a part of the Nordic Collaboration and not the United States, etc.
Rafnhildur Gísaradóttir at the Nordic House in Reykjavik. I promised you a double episode today, and I'm going to make good on that promise as we head back to the Design Museum in Garðabær. And I'm going to speak now to the artist in residence, or at least an artist whose residency is coming to an end at the Design Museum. But as things stand, she is very often the first thing that you see, the first person that you speak to when you walk through the doors of the Design Museum. It's Marta Stavarovska.
Right now I'm doing viravirki. It's really traditional Icelandic way of preparing jewelry for national costumes. And all the wires that you can see here, or you can hear.
Yes.
It's a silver wire that you need to prepare. I like to have them really fine and really thin.
Okay.
And then you can do them in traditional way, like for a costume. But I would like to investigate the way how to make a modern way of them, so that I'm starting to make another pattern.
So you've made rings from this wire so far?
I made rings, brooches, earrings. I made actually everything.
Okay.
This is like a small galaxy I'm working on, so I was doing the...
Now these are very, very small pieces. Yeah, what are these?
Like these are stars, and they're going to be part of the necklace.
Okay, so they will hang on the necklace that you make.
Yeah, actually I'm going to create a comet, because it was Pons Brock comet was going on the sky lately.
Okay.
And I wanted to honor her by making a necklace.
Right. So you are working with lots of, as you said, lots of coils of wire, pieces of wire here. In silver?
Mainly in silver,
mainly
yes.
In silver. Okay. Now, people can come here and see the work that you are doing. As we say, this is the first thing that you see when you come through the doors. You've been the artist in residence here for a few months now.
Yes, I start from February, and I'm going to be here for a couple of days more.
But you want to stay longer if you could.
Oh, I could stay here forever. I love this place.
What do people say then? Because obviously they come in here and they get a chance to speak to you when you're working as well.
Yes, sometimes I'm not even able to put the fire on because I'm talking so much with the people, which I really like. That was my idea, to put the table in the front of the door, not on the back.
Yes.
So I can welcome people and I can talk to them. And many people, especially kids, they are getting interesting about the jewelry. Maybe, who knows, future goldsmiths.
Yes. Well, your work actually appeared in another exhibition that we discussed on Roof English Radio in Hafnarfjörður some weeks ago as well.
Yes, some weeks ago it was opening, and it's going to be there till end of May.
That's in Hafnarborg, in Hafnarfjörður. So that continues well. So plenty of chances to see your work. Tell me a bit about your background, because I think I'm right in saying, I'm sure I read somewhere, unless I dreamt this, that you spent some time in the army in Poland, in the armed services.
Yes, I was served as a civilian in the army for half a year for one contract. And I was on my 20s. And I was studying history of art and landscape architecture, and I was finishing that. And was having this idea that making art is, of course, so pleasant and my life is so joyful, but I would like to do something that will be really meaningful for other people. So I decided, and I used the opportunity to go with the army to Afghanistan to start building a school. So I start few schools.
Okay.
And then the people that were there, they were finishing. So I know they built them up.
Okay.
Mainly for girls, because it's like hard situation. With the girls, really often they don't know how to right, and I really want to make a chance for them.
So you were helping to build the school, did
you? Yeah, because I'm also an engineer.
Okay, okay. So a different kind of craft.
Yeah, yeah, different kind of craft, but I'm using that actually a lot in goldsmithing because I'm able to see the work before I see the work when I'm making it. And also I can figure it out constructions really well because I'm doing all of these delicate elements, but they need to be also strong. So I'm able to figure it out.
You understand which metal and how to put together metals.
How to put them together so they will last.
Yeah. What inspires your art? That's obviously part of the skill that you bring to it, but what's the inspiration?
For now?
Yeah.
That's actually funny because the void is in my main inspiration right now.
The void.
Yeah, the emptiness. Because all filigrees that you see, it's about making frames and put a lot of elements inside, like horror vacui when you have a lot of stuff in. And then I was having this thought, what if the main jewel in the crown will be the void? And I was building around the emptiness. That's why all of the stuff that you see here.
Well, let's move around to the front, because some of your works are on display here at the front of your working table.
You can
see,
everything starts from this little one. That is a ring, and it's actually the...
It's a ring with four smaller circles on the outside?
Yes, and this is actually the symbol how people are signing on a map the void on universe, when the universe is not so thick, and that places they are just making this mark, like, this is emptiness of the space. And I found it fascinating because universe was like always fascinating to me.
Yes.
Like all the events that there, like this was make on two moon and a sun and four seasons, like you can see in the necklace.
So this necklace here, tell me about this because it looks very ornate. There are maybe six little chains that connect the middle piece.
Yes, I made it in an autumn equinox and I put like two even moon and a sun as a central piece because all of this space event were always like interesting to me, like moon shape, but this is actually...
Your necklaces, yes, which have crescent moons, half moons?
Yeah, this moon is actually crying with the green tears, because when I was in high school, I was living in a student house, and one of my friends, she was singing this beautiful lullaby about the moon crying with the green tears, and it was about transition from childhood to grown up, and I like it so much, it stuck so much in my head that I make a necklace.
So the universe is really represented here, isn't it? Big themes, big ideas.
Yeah. I was always interested about it. When I was three, I was asking my father to give me a map of the space. And then I was about six, I was wondering how the Earth looked like. So then I got the other map. But my first interest about the other universe than my home, it was the sky, how stars are big, how they are going.
And are the northern lights reflected at all? Because that's an interesting part of what happens in space that is obviously very visible here.
Yes, but I didn't make so far any piece that was inspired by northern lights. Maybe because it's just like always there and this topic is on and on everywhere. Mm, mm. But it, of course, it's really inspired. And I'm living here like 6 or 7 years right now.
Yes.
And I'm still, when I know that northern lights are there, I'm going to see them. I'm never tired of them.
What are your plans then when this residency finishes here at the Design Museum, which it does in a couple of days? You've got the other exhibition. Your work is part of that. It continues in Hafnarfjörður.
Oh, I also have another exhibition in Hverfisgata in Listasafn.
Okay.
And it's connected with 100 years of Icelandic goldsmithing.
So that continues as well. Looking ahead to the rest of the year and into the future, what are your plans?
I would like to create more jewelry. And I'm working for an Aurum company right now. I really like to work there. It's really like creative environment. Mm-hmm. But I also like to create my own pieces. So hopefully I can also sometimes have a chance to do more of them.
So you're here until the end of this week. There's a chance to see the work that Marta has done, to buy some pieces as well.
There are some
for sale. This is a very impressive museum, isn't it? As a place to come and see some of the incredible Icelandic design that's taken place over there.
Oh, yes. I think all of the more interesting designs, like furniture and stuff that you're using every day, they are here, and it's really worth to come and see.
Marta Stavarovska at the Design Museum in Garðabær. This is Roof English Radio. I'm Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company today. You can get in touch with us anytime by email. We are english@ruv.is.
There is more from Roof English, with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. RÚV English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.